Welcome to Wizard in the Book, the unofficial Dresden Files podcast, the book series by Jim Butcher. Previously on Stormfront, the book we're covering, someone's killing people with magic. A lady named Monica Sales came to Harry Dresden, wizard detective, looking for her missing husband. Dresden's figured out her missing husband is the one that's killing people. He's going to confront Monica at her home. We're on chapter 20 of Stormfront that begins with the cabbie dropping Harry off from the Sales house, and ends with Monica agreeing to help Dresden to tell what she knows, even though she's not sure it'll help, because he's doomed. Pretty much this chapter is the start of the ticking clock, because it gives us more reason to really hate Victor Sales, the evil sorcerer, outside of just attacking our hero. It puts our hero on the offensive, because he now knows who the guy is, and he's about to know where he is and what he's been up to. And we hear storms coming in the distance, which is how the bad guys killing off the good guys. So that's sort of how it works. In this chapter, Harry's pretty freaking angry. He forces his way into the Sales house. He scares her. He uses the names of the dead, one of which he's pretty sure she's related to motivate her to help out, to stop the bad guy. He's taking off the kid gloves, and he's tired. He's beaten up. He's had a hell of a journey, our poor wizard, and here's how it goes. We also learned that he can hex stun guns, which technology, we pretty much already know that. But apparently, the stun gun lasted a little bit longer than he thought he would in his presence, so he has to physically do it himself, and he just does it with will, like normally. And again, like I said, kind of an asshole in this chapter. He bluffs that he'll call the cops about the abuse that she's been under, Monica and the children. He plays on her emotions. He physically knocks her out of the way when she attacks him, even though we've sort of seen in the past he's a little bit of a chauvinist, old school rules, but if you come at him with a stun gun, Harry Dresden's going to knock you back. And he's apparently good enough with staff fighting to block a stun gun from a soccer mom. Pretty much that's what she is. I don't want to, knock down her role. She's a mother, and most mothers don't tool in hand-to-hand combat. I mean, what mother in this universe would tool in hand-to-hand combat? Who knows? Maybe we'll see in the future. We get another appearance of Cabby, who was last seen in chapter 16 and 17, dropping Harry off at the varsity and calling him crazy, wheeling him around all weird. I just love this recurring character, and I'm sure he'll be a big part, just like the mailman. A lot of this chapter is focused on Monica Sells herself. We learn a lot about her family, about her house. Her house is out in the suburbs. It's a cute little house with two stories. There's young trees growing in the front yard that are almost at the top of the house, which shows that they've been in there a short amount of time for everything to go to hell. There's a minivan in the driveway and a worn basketball goal. The lawn is overgrown. There's lots of for sale signs in the neighborhood. Not a whole lot of birds, dogs, people. It's as if it was blighted by the presence of a black wizard, Harry says. So there's that evil feel to it, like whenever they come around. Sort of like in The Lion King when Scar takes over and the Pride Lands become all shitty, even though it's just lions. It shouldn't change who's the leader and who's not. And when Simba comes back, everything's all pretty again. Kind of weird. It's that relationship to environment that evil has sometimes. Monica was last seen in Chapter 4, hiring Dresden in his office. Last heard in Chapter 12 on the phone, while Murphy was trying to put him to bed after he'd vomited in her office. And it's kind of interesting, there is a parallel there that I should have mentioned in Chapter 12, that we first hear her when she's hiring Harry in the first chapter. She went to a meeting, and Murphy calls right after that. We hear her again on the phone, and Murphy's there. Pretty much calls him on his bluff right after that. So I should have talked about that in Chapter 12. Sorry, I didn't. She is described here in full-on mom outfit, jeans, plaid flannel shirt, sleeves that are rolled up. She's got a bandana. She's wearing no makeup. But he says despite, looking down from the last time he saw her, last time she was all dressed up to the nines, it's a natural look that makes her look a little bit older, but it fits her better. She's working it. She's looking good. And her mom role. A very natural look to her. She is definitely a mama bear, as we learn. She defends her family with a stun gun, straight up, when Harry says, I'm going to do this. She has a stun gun on hand, apparently. just sitting by the door waiting for somebody to come and dick a dick a dick. That's how stun guns sound, by the way. Dick a dick a dick. Don't read into that. Whatever I said. She reminds Dresden of Murphy. Says she's got the ferocious look on her face. And like that's what Murphy looks when she's going to fight. She begs Dresden to leave her before his heart explodes and her kids see. She never actually outright says it, but that's exactly what she's thinking, especially when the storm starts popping up. We learn that she is related to someone we've met, or that Dresden has met. And let's go ahead and speculate Linda Randall or Jennifer Stanton. My money's on Jennifer Stanton, because I've read the book before. Linda, though, because we've spent more time with her in the book, that's just narrative law, that she would come back into it. And because she's also blonde, and I don't think, and so is Monica Sells, as far as I remember. For some reason, I want to put her blonde. I hope she is. Dresden says she looks familiar, and he sees it. It's someone Dresden knows, sort of. And it could be Jennifer Stanton, because the kid's name is Jennifer, or Jenny. So, why wouldn't it be? They do share a soul gaze, her and Dresden, and where he learns that she was abused by her dad, and then went on to a relationship where she was abused by her husband. She's used to recovering fast. When the kids come in, she straightens up real fast and wipes the tears out of her eyes and talks fine. Her eyes were wide with shock when she soul gazed Dresden's eyes. So, again, whatever Susan fainted, apparently this lady can handle enough to where she can handle it. And after the soul gaze, she's a lot calmer, and she meets Dresden's eyes. She's fine. She's more trusting of him after the soul gaze. We also get little Jenny Sales at the, quote, at the gawky end of pre-adolescence. Well, not sure what that means. I guess like 12, 10, somewhere in there. She has blonde hair, the color of her mother's. Although the color is not said in this chapter. So again, for some reason I want to put the Sales kids as blonde. Maybe not. Her eyes are too old and too knowing for a child her age. Okay, not sure how this is going to show up because I had to switch over to my phone. So, let's see how this works. We were talking about Jenny Sales. Her eyes are too old. She's seen a lot of abuse. It's really sad. I'm wondering if she could show back up later because apparently she's got a little bit of, fight in her. If you want to know about her name, go back to, again, Jennifer Stanton. So, go back to that chapter. I believe it's chapter 2. We go into Jennifer Stanton's name. And again, could she show up later? She's a child of a wizard. She's definitely got reason, if you ever watched Kill Bill, to get back at him. So we'll see. There's Billy Sales. I don't think we've come up with William yet. It is the name is a diminutive of William. It's a German baby name. In German, the meaning is resolute, protector, or will. For a long time after the Norman conquest in AD 1066, a lot of English boys were given the name, some form of the name, after William the Conqueror. Firstborn Prince Charles is named William, so we should have another one come soon. He is 2 years younger than Jenny, and carrying a basketball that's well used, like the goal we saw out in the driveway. Now, Victor Sales is also all over this chapter. He doesn't appear, but again, he's here. He's blighted this neighborhood. He's a horrible human being, abusive to his family. Everybody's affected by him in some way, shape, or form. And will kill his kids if they stand in the way. He's threatened. The parents. The mom. He doesn't care. And if he finds out that Dresden's at his house, he'll take care of Monica and the kids, no problem. And it shows how evil black magic can be. Because apparently, he was always kind of a dick. Let's get that straight too. Magic didn't make him this way. He was already this way sort of by the soul gaze that she went from abuse to abuse situation from dad to husband. It's just the way it is, and it's a horrible, horrible thing. Now we do get only real a couple things in this chapter about black wizards, supernatural things in general, and black wizards is the first one. It is an evil wizard. Someone's known for their wise magical knowledge and using it for evil. So Victor Sales to a T. It's basically, I went on TV Tropes just to see examples and a basic definition in literature, because of course black wizards don't exist in nature, sorry. But I guess they could if you're using black magic in the religious sense or however you want to go with that. However you want to feel with it. I mean actual people in a narrative context that throw around spells. We don't get a definition, we just get a mention of it. in this chapter, Black Wizard's destroying things. And it's pretty much a power, absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's that sort of idea that bad people, when they get, or when power's been in, or there's a good enough reason to use it, it's going to be. He, sometimes she, delve too deeply in things that man was not meant to know, or the master of the dark arts, and never got training on how to be good or a good person. That's pretty much most of what it is. It's usually the expense of his soul. There's usually a deal with the devil sometimes, which kind of pays in with Victor Sells. Where did he really learn all this? I mean, he didn't get a Black Magic for Dummies. They're very dangerous. Usually they're the top foe. They're the big bad guy. Think Thulsa Doom in Conan, or, I mean, even like Voldemort and Harry Potter. It's very evil. They always use like mind control. They've always got mooks that are undead people that deal with their problems. There's usually an evil tower or some base of operations that they have to, the good guy has to go in. And usually if he's the second string, it's because he sold his soul. And the devil or some type of devil incarnate is the main big bad person, big bad evil. And that's mostly about the evil. There's also a Black Wizards or Black Mages, which we talked about that a little bit before, one of the first episodes of this podcast, that wizards and mages and sorcerers, it's very nebulous as to what that means, what those words actually mean. But usually they deal with destructive magic in RPGs. So it's just anybody who deals with evocation. So if we do ever make a Final Fantasy version of the Dresden Files, Harry himself could technically be a black mage because he's using destructive magic. He uses evocation a lot. He doesn't do a lot of healing. One of the major ones that I love was Black Mage from A-Bit Theater, whose main quote is, "I'm Black Mage, I cast spells that makes the peoples fall down." Which, I just love that. The only other real wizard thing we get in here is Hex, which we've sort of covered before about how Harry can mentally use his magical powers to knock out electricity, technology in some way, shape, or form. The word Hex itself, I just wanted to know where it came from. It means to bewitch or cast a magic spell. So that's all it really is. You can also call a person a hex. It's a spell or charm in the noun version. It started around 1820, 1830, somewhere in there. That's when the word itself started appearing, from the German Hexe, for witch. That's all it means. As far as cultural stuff in this chapter, the only thing I have is the stun gun. I delved through, tried to find just a lot of emotional stuff in this chapter. Not a lot of jokes or quips or references. The stun gun itself, though, is an electroshock weapon, is what it's technically called. In 1935, in Cyril Diaz of Colombia, the guy's name was Cyril Diaz of Colombia, designed an electroshock glove of Cuba. Why did I say Colombia? I'm sorry. Cyril Diaz of Cuba, designed an electroshock glove that he could touch people and shock the crap out of them. Jack Cover, a NASA researcher, began developing the taser in 1969. In 1974, he had completed the device. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but taser comes from his childhood hero, Tom Swift. And it means Tom A. Swift's Electric Rifle. That's what taser stands for, if you're ever curious. The Taser Public Defender was used a gunpowder as its propellant, and it led the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to classify it as a firearm in 1976. So the first taser, instead of the ones we see now where it goes pop and you hear the ticka 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 ticka, I know you really wanted me to say that again. That was originally just a gun that shot people with electricity, or it shot out darts that would electrocute people. Cover's patent was adapted by Nova Technologies, the ones that made Johnny Five, in 1983. And the Nova XR5000 was the first non-projectile handheld-style stun gun, the one that Monica Sales is using. It's a widely copied and is the source for compact handheld stun guns used today. The compact handheld stun gun, about the size of a TV remote or a calculator, and they must touch the subject. So, going full circle back to Cuba. The original was in 1983, had electrodes that spread farther apart, and that's what makes the ticka-ticka-ticka electric arc between the electrodes and a more visible warning. So basically, they just wanted to show people that, I'm about to shock the shit out of you, back up, and here's the noise, and now we all know that noise. Such devices are available disguised as other objects, so that's fun if you don't want to just warn people. They can be umbrellas, mobile phones, or pens. So, fun fact, if you don't want to just scare somebody into going away, you can just shock the crap out of them with a pen. Nice that miniaturization has gotten that far. And that's all I have for this week's Wizard in the Book. Again, I'm sorry about the drop in audio quality. Hopefully it's not too bad. The Wizard in the Book is on Twitter, Wizard in the Book. We are also part of the Band Library, BANNED. If you'd like to support us, go on bandlibrary.com/Patreon. No, that's not it at all. Patreon.com/bandlibrary. And you can support the Patreon for $1 a month, support the library and everything we do. I usually put up something, try to do Dresden File-centric in Connections, the weekly podcast on there that I do. That's everything I have for this week. Band Library on Twitter, Facebook. You can buy our books on bandlibrary.com. Everything else there. And that's all I have. Thank you for listening. And remember to sign off catchphrase. Wham bam. Thank you, Mr. Bye.